Support for this podcast comes from Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes creating a professional website for your business, personal brand, or portfolio so easy, it's newsworthy. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Welcome back to the Guardian Film Show, making the world about 10 times smarter on a weekly basis since 2012. Coming up this week, we have the usual diet of violence and heartbreak, romance and song. And that's just here in the studio. On this week's show, Marion Cotillard fights for the right to go back to work in 2 days, one night. Daniel Radcliffe is looking for love in the winsome rom-com What If? And Belle and Sebastian frontman Stuart Murdoch rustles up a sun-splashed Umbrellas of Glasgow with his musical God Help the Girl. But first, we meet Lucy, as played by Scarlett Johansson. She's an all-seeing, ass-kicking angel of vengeance, taking out drug dealers and hopping back and forth through time. Morgan Freeman, scientist, can't explain her, but hopefully Luc Besson can. The director sat down with The Guardian's Andrew Pulver.
It is estimated most human beings only use 10% of the brain's capacity. Imagine if we could access 100%. Interesting things begin to happen.
I have access to 28% of my cerebral capacity. I can feel every living thing.
As soon as you ask yourself the question, what's real, what's fake, I'm the winner. Because that's exactly what I want. I want the people to say, okay, hold on, what's true, what's fake? We're using 10% of our brain, that's wrong. We're not using 10%. It's an old theory from the 60s, never been proven. What's real is we're using 15% of our neurons in the same time. Never 100.
It's like all things that make me human are fading away.
I'm excited to see, can we try to put in the same meal salt and sugar, content and fun? So I have to be the one who tried the mix to see if it's working. I don't want anyone to die with the food, you know.
I'm joined now by Catherine Short and Henry Barnes. Henry, this film made me think that maybe one day I could be a drug mule and have a pack of drugs burst in my stomach.
I think you're already working at 25% or something, aren't you? But yeah, I mean, only Luc Besson could make that situation look like something that is going to play to your advantage. And I think, in terms of a Luc Besson movie, this is great. This is so many ideas done at once, and with his films, occasionally a few stick, and this one really has. Mm. And he's talked about it being the pop and the science working together. And I think he does a convincing job of making a brainy sci-fi interesting and fun, or on the flip side of that, making a dumb film seem clever enough that you can stick with it long enough. It's also interesting because it's Scarlett Johansson doing, after doing Her and doing Under the Skin, it's yet another film where she's trying to remove herself as a Hollywood star from the part almost entirely, in that you don't really get the sense that she's a fully formed character by the end of the film. Just pieces of her vanish piece by piece. And then by the end, she's almost one-dimensional because she's become so enlightened and heightened above normal humanity that she no longer really is relatable to us. I mean, in terms of actually watching the film, it's quite difficult in the final third to enjoy it because she's a dead-eyed superhero. But at the same time, it is interesting to see how
she does it well, though. And there's a sort of rueful bit of comedy to it as well, that you have the sense that she's kind of enjoying this kind of odd role that she's playing, which is almost like a kind of popular flip side of Under the Skin, where she's like the kind of the alien adrift in the world.
Yeah, and it also gives Besson the license to basically write a character that can be anything and is nothing at the same time. Mm. And that's fine. Usually in an action film, characters are that because it's poorly written, but this really isn't. It's pacey, it's got a decent script, and she does, particularly in the first third of the film, an excellent job of selling a character to you that you're basically going to lose as the film goes on.
Is there a problem with the dramatic tension of this film, though, in that the more brain power she kind of occupies and the greater her power grows, you start to think, well, the film can't really keep pace with her. She's supposed to be taking out these drug dealers, and yet nobody can stop her. She's like this sort of godhead by the end.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't actually touch anybody for the whole of those action scenes. So you have these things where people are running towards her in the traditional bunch of 15 guys attacking all at once. And she doesn't have to touch them because her brain power is such that she has telekinetic ability.
So she's invincible,
but then I saw that as an advantage in that it's the action genre turned on its head and that there's no action. It's just someone who is invulnerable, invincible, all present and ever knowing, and what would happen in the world if that happened, and Besson doesn't know because it's, it's somebody who's working at his capacity couldn't understand it, but it still makes for an entertaining watch.
Professor Norman, my name's Lucy. I just read all your research on the human brain. We need to meet.
All of my research? Well, I'm very flattered, young lady, but I find that hard to believe.
I read your theory on the use of the brain's capacity. It's a little rudimentary, but you're on the right track.
Thank you.
I absorbed a large quantity of synthetic CPH4 that will allow me to use 100% of my cerebral capacity. Right now I'm at 28%. And what you wrote is true. Once the brain reaches 20%, it opens up.
You can control your own metabolism?
Yes. Also, I can control magnetic and electric waves, television, telephone, radio.
That's amazing.
Scarlett Johansson reaching peak brain in Luc Besson's Lucy. High time now for a whiplashing change of pace. The Dardenne brothers are here to drop us into the blue-collar suburbs of small-town Belgium. Though, happily, we have a movie star for company.
C'est à propos du vote. J'ai vu Dumont avec Juliette et il est d'accord qu'on revote lundi matin. Robert t'a dit? Et alors, je voulais te demander si t'étais d'accord que je reste.
Marion Cotillard is Sandra, a depressed mother who faces the axe from her job at the local solar panel plant. Her one hope is to persuade a majority of employees to forego their 1,000 euro bonuses. And she has just 2 days, one night to do it.
Mais je veux juste te dire que... Attends, une seconde, hein. Je veux juste te dire que je voudrais que tu votes pour moi, pour que je garde mon travail. J'ai besoin de mon salaire, on en a besoin à la maison.
Catherine, I suspect the Dardenne brothers might get stick from their sort of fan base for casting Oscar-winning Marion Cotillard in this role among all the kind of non-professionals, but she's really good, isn't she?
Yeah, I think probably less because she's a good Oscar-winning actress than that she's unbelievably good-looking, and nobody, as she goes around the small town asking to have a job back, nobody sort of comments on the fact she's drop-dead gorgeous, which is a bit odd, actually, and she's very, very thin, and, you know, sort of raddled and stressed. And you're meant to be thinking, God, she looks so stressed in that little vest. But you are also slightly thinking, God, she looks great in that vest. I must eat less.
She could be a model.
She could be. She could. That's the thing. She's got options. You know? She doesn't get the factory job, but there's the catwalk. Yeah. Is that a shame or not? I mean, Cotillard's fantastic in it, and it's wonderful. For me, this sort of biggest sticking point in terms of plausibility in that way was her husband, who is 100% the nicest guy you've ever met. I mean, he's so tolerant. He's so great. He does all the childcare. He does all the support. She says terrible things to him, absolutely terrible. And he just kind of, brushes them off. He's just so lovely. I think that was the falter note for me. But overall, this is an absolute perfect gem of a picture, isn't it, really? It's almost too neat, the way it sort of comes together in a 90-minute thing, and it's just beautiful. It's very sort of a single note in that way that the Dardenne brothers are. It keeps you going through it. It's terrific. It's not, I don't think it's their best, but it's kind of up there, isn't it?
It's almost like a kind of mythic structure, isn't it? It's that she kind of goes through the town, meeting all the different people and kind of reconnecting to the world. I mean, and it's probably sort of socialist film in that way, that it is about solidarity.
Yeah, and in that way, it's probably, people always say that a film's very French if it's overly sexy, but this film feels very French in its politics. And also, I like the image of the town that you've got, even though you never really go into the town central at all. It's this idea that these people are living disparate lives in different parts of the suburbs. And for them, 1,000 euros is a huge thing. It's a life-changing amount of money. And she's asking them to value friendship and companionship and solidarity over a sum of money that could change their lives forever for the better. I did wonder a bit about the mental health side of the plot, in that it felt melodramatic to me. And I think maybe that's easy to say, but at the same time, I wasn't sure it was even necessary.
I don't think it was necessary. Yeah. The film was at its best when it was at its most simple. Like, this is the task that she has to do.
Exactly. And it's very easy to relate to the idea of someone begging for their job. Mm. That's tragic enough, right? To say that she then has life-threatening depression on top of that just seemed a little bit too much to me. But I agree with Catherine in the main. This is fantastic, fantastic picture.
Ce qu'il faudrait, c'est que tu restes. Et qu'on ait la prime. Je l'ai encore dit tant toi, Jean-Marc. Et il me dit que c'est pas possible pour Dumont.
T'as vu Jean-Marc?
Non, non, il m'a téléphoné. Comme aux autres, je suppose. Pour qu'on ne change pas d'avis.
Pourquoi est-ce qu'il pense que c'est mieux que je sois viré?
Je sais pas. C'est ce qu'il pense. Je lui ai dit qu'il se trompait, mais... Je dois y aller.
Qui t'a dit contre moi?
Et il pense que quelqu'un qui était malade, il est plus aussi performant.
The Dardenne Brothers, stirring 2 days, one night. And now, if you're a fan of Belle and Sebastian's feathery, whimsical pop songs, then your cup runneth over. God Help the Girl is a Glasgow set musical from the band's frontman, Stuart Murdoch. It's feathery and it's whimsical.
Let me tell you this. If you want to hear your voice floating in the middle of a beautiful tapestry of frequencies, you're going to need a pop group.
Emily Browning writes songs, Ollie Alexander plays guitar, and Hannah Murray is learning to sing. One day, God willing, these three will form a band. Their bittersweet apprenticeship leads them back and forth around a sun-splashed Glasgow.
I need to save some dough. I'm a working.
Henry, you're in a band. Is it a bit like that?
Yeah, it's like this, but we're about four times as good looking. I wouldn't call this feathery. I'd call this fluffy in the extreme. If you love their music and you love the idea that you're going to be forever young and that a cup of tea is a lovely thing to drink on a Sunday afternoon before you row your kayak down a canal, it's going to be great for you. I just think, for me, it feels whimsical in the extreme, twee, sugary, cloying, and really without much to support it in terms of why you should get this film made in the first place, other than being an advert for God Help the Girl, who, I have to say, have a couple of great songs that I really like, but at the same time, it doesn't seems too loose a structure to hang a whole film off of it.
Catherine, I found it absolutely charming.
Why, Sam? What's wrong with you?
I thought there was a kind of weird, naked earnestness about it. It's totally sincere. I think it probably, Henry's probably right, it probably is bogus. The main character played by Emily Browning is depressed and she's anorexic and she sort of breaks out of hospital. None of which the film seems overly concerned with, apart from the fact that this makes her a kind of soulful artist. And I thought that was dubious. But I thought that all three performers were really good. I like the songs. I like the kind of Jacques Demy crossed with Bill Forsyth kind of quality of that sort of kitchen sink musical.
Do you like tea? Kind of, you don't like tea.
I don't really
you
like
don't,
tea.
What about kayaking?
I like canals. I like vintage clothes shops and working men's clubs, which the film is full of.
And it's full of that only, right? Like, this isn't under the skin. Glasgow is inhabited by people that only go to bingo halls or only go to tea
but
shops.
But don't have Scottish accents. None of them.
No, none of them do.
Scottish accents. It's also a film for the selfie generation in a way that they're constantly, like, pouting at themselves in mirrors and trying to make themselves look good in 1950s clothing and wondering how they look whilst they play this guitar. And you're trying to sell us this idea at the same time as saying that artistic creation and writing music is the biggest thing in the world and is above all, and at the same time it's incredibly shallow.
It didn't work for you either.
I'm going to give a shout out to another Glasgow set film that doesn't feature any Glasgow accents in it at all, which is another Luc Besson film called Unleashed with the late Bob Hoskins and of course Morgan Freeman as well, and there's a wonderful scene where Jet Li and Morgan Freeman playing a blind pianist go around the spa in Glasgow and he sort of says, I'm going to introduce you to Kelly, the best checkout woman in the whole of Scotland, and she sort of says, hello, love. Even she hasn't got it. But I mean, that I enjoyed that an awful lot more, I have to say, than this.
You should write a song about it.
I will, right now.
Just please give them the tape, okay? Remember to give them the tape, okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. she is unbelievable.
Yep. But it's not like she's going to look at us while the Swiss German's here.
No, there's no way she's getting past the big Swiss German. Life is tragic.
But good.
The Marmite affair that is God Help the Girl. So we've had the action, the drama, and the music. All that remains is the romance. Here comes Daniel Radcliffe.
So, I've been with Ben for 5 years, and, I totally get that guys don't want to hang out with the girl with the boyfriend. But it just sucks, you know? It just, makes you feel like the only thing that's interesting about you is how you look with your clothes off.
What if Daniel Radcliffe's heartbroken young scamp fell in love with Zoe Kazan's skittish young animator? What if she liked him back? But what if she's got a boyfriend? And what if her sister liked him too? What if asks a whole heap of questions.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Friends. Is this always how you make friends? It's a business deal?
Yeah, actually, It's just my style.
Okay, it's quite unnerving, but it's got
Catherine, would anyone pay to see this film?
Well, someone would, and that someone was me, because last night I went to see it by myself in the cinema on its first day of release and quite enjoyed it. And I know you two are a bit more ambivalent about it. I think it's interesting going to see a film with real people because you sort of want to get all the bang for your buck. It's an interesting process, that, even though I'll expense it. So, anyway.
You sound like Marie Antoinette.
But it's true. And, I quite liked it. I think Daniel Radcliffe, he's a funny bloke, isn't he? Because he's so awkward and short and strange and good-looking. And yet, you kind of unsexy in a funny way. But Zoe Kazan, I really don't see the appeal. But anyway, they sort of made it work in a funny
really?
Way.
Really? I didn't think they had any chemistry between them at all.
They didn't really, I suppose, no. But, they're both so weird that it sort of seemed to work. I don't get what she is apart from a bit kooky. There seemed to be no other character traits. She's not even terribly kooky.
And she's an illustrator.
Yeah, you see the illustrations sort of flap across the screen a bit.
Flap
across the screen. I thought they did quite well with what I thought was quite a clunky script.
Did it melt your heart?
It definitely didn't melt my heart. It was a block of ice throughout. But I think Catherine's right. I think the script is awfully, again, self-aware and kooky. And Radcliffe and Kazan and Adam Driver do a decent job of presenting what is basically cliches about love and cliches about friendship. There's just so many lines in it that make you wince. Things like they have banter about pickle, gherkins being a mortuary for cucumbers or something. It's just who is that funny for? And
for them.
I guess it's funny for them. And then,
but isn't that the thing? That if you eavesdrop on two flirty lovers in a cafe, to them they're sounding great, but to you it's intensely...
I know exactly what it's like, because I have to sit next to you two all the time, so I get that feeling.
But it's like the Algonquin round table with us.
I don't know what it is about this kind of film. I think you're right. It's really difficult to look in on someone's love life and find it entertaining and interesting and even moving.
No, that's just not right. I mean, that cinema is based on the idea that that's not right.
Give me a romantic comedy in the last 5 years that has managed to do that, though.
Maybe it's Give me a minute. Keep talking. Think about it.
I mean, what did you think of it?
I found it really annoying.
Yeah.
I found it intensely annoying. I didn't think there was any chemistry. I thought, even, his friendship with Adam Driver, I thought these two people would never be friends.
Yeah.
So the whole thing ran as phony as a £3 note.
And also I think there's a problem that the premise for it, and they've changed the title, it used to be the F word, F for friendship, and now it's What If, and they're sort of trying with the sort of marketing push to kind of premise, what if you've got a mate who's a bit off relationships?
Crazy.
Yeah, crazy. which really doesn't work, but it sort of highlights the underlying problem with the plot, which is the only problem is she's got a boyfriend, and that's it. So they may quite fancy each other, but she's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's it, which is thin, I have to say. Really thin.
So?
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 What?
Why are you torturing yourself over what could be a 10-second conversation with Chantry that would answer everything?
Nicole, please, it's your wedding day. Can we talk about you?
Exactly, it's my wedding day. As best man, it's your job to keep me calm so that I don't crawl out that window and go and bang a sailor.
Where are you even gonna find a sailor?
At the dock. God, what's the best case scenario? Wallace, I love you. Let's have sex forever until we die having sex.
That is the best case scenario.
Okay, and what's the worst case scenario? Wallace, you drizzling liar, I thought we were friends, but this whole time you've just been trying to put your junk inside my trunk.
Anything involving the phrase put your junk inside my trunk actually would be the worst case scenario.
Will they or won't they? What if we call it a day? My thanks to Catherine and to Henry. The film show is now taking a brief break for a few weeks. while we attempt to cover the Toronto and Venice film festivals, although there will be some form of video coverage on the site in the meantime. One day, God help us, we shall all find our way back home.
The Guardian podcast comes from Squarespace. When you need to know what's in the news, you turn to The Guardian. When you want to create something newsworthy, you turn to Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to create your own professional website for your small business, online store, professional portfolio, or blog. Getting started takes only seconds. Just go to squarespace.com, and to support this podcast, use the offer code GUARDIAN to take 10% off.